Well, welcome. We're going to have some fun. And it's been interesting as we started out with this. The thing that I was going to be doing is to talk about the gospel presentation or doing the gospel in the youth ministry. But yet when I started looking online, it was something that said this, how to love your community. And I'm like, oh no, that's not what I signed up for. But then I started thinking, really, you know, the only way to love your community is to share the gospel. So we're going to talk about it from a youth ministry standpoint, and we'll have some fun with it. And my friend back here, all he's going to do is push a button. Does that monitor work? Keep talking. That's fine. At least that way I can see without having to turn around. And I know some of these people on this row right here, and I don't want to turn my back on them. So we go way back and that kind of stuff. So anyway, that's what's going on. But we're going to talk about the gospel today, and we're going to talk about it in a lot of different ways, and I'll get you to have some input with it, because one of the things is that we should be about is the good news. Listen, there's a lot of things we could be doing, but it's got to be the gospel, okay? And I'm going to show you a lot of stuff I'm going to share with you today. It's not theoretical. It's not something that you should do. I'm going to share with you things that we do. Because one of the things I want to do is not just talk about these things. I want to talk about things that we have done that work, right? And it worked for us in our environment. It may not work for you in your environment, but it's the same gospel. It's just how you get it out there. I'll say this, and he'll get that up on that slide for you in the back. That's okay. Here's the thing. You got to know your environment. I was at a church, and it's one of the biggest things they did in the draw of this church and their youth ministry is that everybody went to the county fair for the tractor pull. Ooh, hoorah, right? I mean, that was a big deal. I moved to a new environment, different culture. I talk about going to the county fair, and let's go to the tractor pull. And everybody looked at me like I had a horn growing out of the side of my head because that environment was totally different. But what I'm really working for is trying to get a fellowship together. So it doesn't matter what you do, it's the end result, right? So that's what we're going to look at. So, all right, we're going to go through this, and like I said, I'm the only thing between you and dinner. So we're going to look at some scripture, look at some backgrounds, got some presentations, youth ministry, got to have at least one video, right? And then we'll talk about how to and some intentionality. And I can do all that in less than 60 minutes because I'm the only thing between you and dinner. Okay, so that's where we're going to go. All right, so here's the scripture. You know these things, but I'm going to start off with it. It says, the following day, John was again standing with two of his disciples, and as Jesus walks by, John looks up and says, look, there's the Lamb of God. Let me stop. It's underlined. It's in yellow. So what did he just do? He witnessed, right? Because he's pointing everybody to who? Jesus. I thought that was something that Paul came up with. No, Jesus, it comes from the very beginning. And they said, when they heard this, what'd they do? They follow Jesus. That's the gospel, right? So then it goes on. Jesus says, what do you want? Well, that's really the proverbial question. What do our people want? What do our people need? What do we want? Well, we want to share the good news and the gospel, okay? So as we look at that, he goes on. They replied, Rabbi, which is teacher, where are you staying? His response is, come and see. That's the gospel. Think about it. All we're telling our students, all we're telling people in our community is come and see who Jesus is. Come and see. Come and examine him. Take a look at him. Okay, so come and see. So this is from the very beginning. And it was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. They went with him to the place where he was staying, and they remained with him the rest of the day. That is just an incredible story to start with. It's the good news. It's the gospel. That's our foundation. It's our DNA. It's who we are. Okay, so I'll go to the next slide. Then, in Psalms 66, Old Testament, come and see what our God has done. That is still true today. Come and see what our God has done and what awesome miracles he performs for people. Let me tell you the greatest miracle that Jesus has ever done. Walk on water, good trick. Feed 5,000, that's awesome. Raising Lazarus from the dead, two thumbs up and a snap because that's hard to top. Greatest miracle he ever did was save me. And because he saved me, I can tell everybody about it. Why? Because I was one way, now I'm another. I was lost, but now I'm found. I didn't have purpose, now I do. I was lonely, and I'm no longer lonely. I didn't have peace, now I have a peace that passes all understanding. It's the greatest thing that ever happened to me. Why would I not talk about it? How many of you are parents? You ever talk about your kids? You see people run the other way? How many of you are grandparents? They really run from us. Because we like our grandkids better than we do our kids, right? And we'll say, hey, you know, everybody else says, you want to see a picture of my children and everything. Grandparents say, let me show you this portfolio. And we pull it out. Why? We talk about something that really means something to us. So if the gospel means something to us, if the good news means something to us, then we start sharing and talk about it. You know this. I just got to get the foundation. Stay with me, okay? All right. Got another scripture. All right. Go one more, brother. Quick. It did work. Okay. And as Jesus walked along, he sees this man by the name of Matthew sitting at his tax collector's booth. So he's going by the government office, sees the IRS guy sitting there, looks at him with compassion as only Jesus can. He said, hey, follow me, be my disciple. Follow me, be my pupil. Jesus said to him, so Matthew got up and followed him. Following Jesus is the whole thing. I mean, it's what we're talking about, is they got to follow Jesus. So that's where we want to go with these things and talk about this. So here's what happened. Go ahead. We'll go to the next one. Here's how Jesus models it. When he says, follow me, what's he going to do? Here's the thing. Jesus said, follow me. Okay, here's the question. Where are you going? And what are we going to do? He said, come and see. Well, he said, I'm going to go heal somebody. I'm going to raise a child. Ooh, that's discipleship. So, you know, watch what's going on. He heals the blind. He prays. And then it says in Matthew 9, he prays for workers. So here's the thing. Jesus said, follow me. We follow him. We see what he does. And then we do the things that he did. Okay? Then in Matthew 10, he says, pray that God would send out harvesters. Now here's something that amazes me on that. Jesus said, pray for the workers, not the lost. I've prayed for the lost for a long time. Maybe we need to start praying for the workers. So that we go out, we're empowered, we're equipped, we're empowered with the power of the Holy Spirit, with the greatest news, the good news of Jesus Christ that there is, and we go out and we share the story, okay? And we're going to give you some things. I think we have enough. I got a handout for everybody too, okay? So when I look at this, I see what all that Jesus did. That's what we're supposed to do. So we're going to talk about that as well. This will go pretty quickly. Now, mine's different than his. I have to fix this. So all right, I want you to help me. Name as many gospel presentations as possible, models, programs, and ways to share the gospel. All right? Your youth people. Talk to me. Give me, somebody just give them one. Somebody break the ice. Romans Road. Matthew, no, let me see, that's Romans what? 3:23, 6:23, Romans. 5:8, 10:9, 10:13 is the closer. 13 is the closer. This is a freebie for you. You don't have to do this, but I'm going to tell you, it works so well for me with my student ministry. I have them read verse 13. I have them read it out loud when I'm sharing the gospel with somebody. I said, and at this age, it's legit. I don't have my glasses and my arms are getting too short. I really, literally can't see it. And if you have one of those small pocket Bibles, you can't convince me those are letters on those pages. They're just dots. And I asked, I said, would you read verse 13 for me? Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord, what? Yes. Will be saved. I asked this question. Is there a question mark at the end of that page? Is there a question mark at the end of that? They go, no. It's a period. I said, oh, so that's a declaratory statement. I don't know a lot of English, but my daughter is an English person, so she told me that's a declaratory statement. I said, so the Bible declares that if you call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved? They said, yes. I said, are you ready to do that? Yes. I don't know how to do it. That's okay. We're going to walk you through that. But the Bible says if you will call on him, you'll be saved. Well, how do I do that? You just do it, right? So we talk about it. You folks that come in, you can walk right down through here. It won't bother me at all. Trust me. I'm bearded. I can do anything. So, all right, so we got Romans Road. What else?
Three circles.
Three circles. When you do the three circles, which circle do you start with? I always start with brokenness. I have talked to pagans, I have talked to lost people, I've talked to confused people, I've talked to moderates. You have a tough crowd. I've yet to have anybody say, no, this world's not broken. Everybody agrees the world's broken. And here's the thing, if I start out with brokenness, by the time I get back to the first circle, they don't even know we've shared. They've already agreed with me that everything's broken, and we're already sharing the gospel, they have no idea. Right? It works. All right, so we got Romans Road, we got three circles, what else? Okay, share Jesus without fear. What else?
Gap.
Share, real quick.
Oh, gosh.
No, you don't have to do the whole thing. Just give an idea. Gap.
we're on one side of broken this infinite chasm, God's on the other side.
Okay, got you. We've got the chasm between the two. Everybody calls it different things.
Yeah.
Okay? All right. My head gapped. All right, somebody else? What else you got?
It's like the wordless book that's a shared use about fear. Just colors.
The colors?
Raceless.
Okay.
Black for the sins.
Something like that.
Exactly.
Yeah. So everybody said, oh, you carry the gospel around your back pocket. Actually, this thing, so my billfold's so slick it falls out, so I keep it in there. But, you know, when I go to pay, I have to open it up. Somebody will eventually ask me this question. Oh, what do those colors mean? I'm glad you asked. Because now I can share because they've asked, right? All right, anything else?
The simple witnessing before Christ, conversion, and after.
Absolutely. Before, middle, and after. Anybody else?
There's a new one at the Yes Conference this year. Yeah. A guy that presented his emojis, his four emojis. Our kids have loved that.
Yeah, I ordered some extra ones.
The heart, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's it. The division sign and the...
And lastly, we'll go into the question, what are you going to do with it?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to talk about that in just a second as well, so that's good. All right, anything else?
Testimony.
The best thing you could ever do is a satisfied customer. If it does not do you any good, don't try to make them twice the sons of hell. Oh, actually, that's what Jesus said to Pharisees, right? Sorry. You know what I'm saying? If we're not satisfied in Jesus, then why would we push that on somebody else? I got saved as a teenager. I went to school. Wired and fired, and they said, well, that's going to die down. I've been a long time ago since I was a teenager. It's not even close to letting up, okay? Still excited about it. Anything else?
The lady just gave it this, you know, the black heart, circle.
Absolutely. See, I'm around long enough, and you said white heart. That's a whole different world for me right there. but no, you're right, because with the children and stuff. Okay, all right, well, I got to.
Faith.
See, that's old. People don't know faith anymore. Now, forsaking all, I trust him, just so you know. Okay, all right, let's go to this next slide. Here's the ones that I came up with just right off of that. Three circles, because it's a big push. Okay, true story. We do a youth fellowship, because we like to eat and we're Baptist, right? And we're sharing the three circles. We've been sharing the three circles. We've talked about it. We go over it. So in the youth fellowship, you're welcome to steal anything I say to share with you today because I want you to get this. We call our youth fellowships on Sunday night Acts. After church to somewhere. Very spiritual. All right? We go to a restaurant. We go to Cane's. Not an advertisement. Just happened to be where it was. So I'm going back to get some more drink. And I walk by a table. And I'm standing here telling you the truth. There's a girl, and she has three pickles laying on the table with a French fry between each one of them. And I walked by and went, okay. And I hear her enough. She is sharing the three circles with three pickles and three French fries. I had to take a shot of that because it's like she's getting it, right? She's getting it. She's sharing it with her friends who came to the fellowship with her that night. I don't know if they got saved or not, but I'm still talking about it, and it's been several years ago, okay? The Romans Road, we hit that pretty quickly, okay? Bracelets. Talked about the one with the emblems. It's got the heart, it's got a division sign, it's got a plus sign, it has a question mark. You know, that God loves us so much, the division sign comes in and says that there's a division between me and God, and that is sin. All right, but Jesus dies on the cross and the plus mark. What are you going to do with it? It's a question mark. You can get these made for hardly anything. It's like anything else you get, the more you get, the cheaper they are. Okay, the cross presentation, kind of like what you were talking about, the cross helps us in that gap. It's called different things. Faith. See, I had that up there, so that was good. Faith. Gospel. It's not the gospel, it's gospel. I see your confusion. Okay? Kentucky Changers, the last few years, has kind of gone with that because they've given them bracelets, and it says G-O-S-P-E-L in it. And the cool thing about these bracelets, I do Kentucky Changers, by the way. I'll be at Maysville this year, my son and I will. They gave us the bracelets this last year. They didn't tell me they glowed in the dark. So I had my own on, and they turned out the lights. And I'm telling you, in the dark, it was like it was neon. I had to put it underneath something. It was so bright. But G, okay, the word gospel. God created us to be with him, but our sin has separated us from God. And sin cannot be done away with by doing good deeds. But paying the price for our sins, Jesus died. But he rose again. And everyone who believes in Jesus alone can have life that's eternal. And you know, life eternal begins the moment you accept Jesus. Does that make sense? Why would you not want that forgiveness? That's a hard presentation. That's all we say. God created us to be with Him. Our sin separates us from God. Sin can't be done away with by good works or anything else. Paid the price for our sins. Jesus died and rose again. Everyone who trusts in Christ alone has life that's eternal. And life that's eternal begins the moment you say yes to Jesus. We call it the 262 because you start off with two questions. All right? What brings your life the greatest joy? Well, I'm a grandparent. Oh, okay. Most of the time people ask back, they're like, what brings you the greatest joy? I'm glad you asked. Or, can I share with you what brings me the greatest joy? Because we're having a conversation. The follow-up questions, does what I share make sense? And if they go, no, what part? So I can share it with you again. Or if it does, would you like to have that forgiveness now? That's the gospel. Okay? And I'll share more of that in a minute. The hands. Here's one that a missionary came back from mission field shared with me. And I'm using this now. We're getting ready to go on another mission trip. And as we go, I'm going to make sure that I share this on the mission field because the children pick up on it. So if you work with children, this is the best one I've seen. Okay? And I do it with the left hand facing people. Don't be... If you're right-handed, that's okay. I am. If you work better with the left, I'll show you why. In the beginning, God. And God did what? Created everything. And everything that God created was good until He created man. And what did He say when He created man? It is very good. And man and God had this relationship. The Bible says that man walked in fellowship with the Father, and they had fellowship at the end of every day. But then Genesis 3 says that sin enters into the picture, and man is no longer in fellowship with God. And he tries everything he can. It's like money and popularity and business and works and youth group and mission trips and all that stuff. He's hopeless. But God is a God of love, and He doesn't want us to stay in hopelessness. So He sends Jesus. And Jesus, we know, came and walked on the face of the earth. He died on the cross. He was buried. We don't ever want to leave him in the grave, right? And on the third day, He rose from the dead. And if man will put his faith in Jesus Christ, he'll be restored into that relationship with Him and salvation. Is that something you'd like to have? And to watch the children get it is the most amazing thing. Now, here's the cool thing. You want to love your community? Share it with your children. Get them to learn how to do this. Why? Go home, show that to your mom and dad. What have I done? Pushing the gospel to the home because I love the community. Oh, that's sneaky. Yes, it is. I have no problem with that. But that works so well. Just do it. And I always like to do left hand for it because that's the J. Otherwise, it's L for loser. You want to make sure you go the other way, right? All right, so that kind of goes that way. All right, now. I got a video. Before I hit the video, I want to share this with you. Every one of those presentations I just had, every one of them, every one you shared, every one that you came up with, has a flaw. This is a fun video because we're youth people. Who's under 25 in here? There was a show on television called Seinfeld. And in this episode, even Kramer, you don't know who that is, but even he was young. So that puts it in a date, okay? All right, so we're going to watch this video and have some fun.
Thank you. a spatula. I left the door open because I was going to bring the spatula right back.
Wait, you left the lock open or the door open?
The door.
The door? You left the door open?
Yeah, well, I was going to bring the spatula right back.
Yeah, and?
Well, I got caught up watching a soap opera. Bold and the Beautiful.
So the door was wide open?
Wide open.
Where were you?
I was at Bloomingdale's, waiting for the shower to heat up.
Look, Jerry, I'm sorry. You have insurance, anybody?
No.
How can you not have insurance?
Because I spent my money on the Klapto D29. It's the most impenetrable lock on the market today. It has only one design flaw. The door must be closed!
So the lock has only one flaw. You gotta lock the door. You gotta shut the door. Every one of these presentations we've talked about has the same flaw. We gotta do it. And therein lies our problem. We don't share it. We don't talk about it. So, what I would ask you, two or three questions, is, we'll say, yeah. Do we or have we used the Jesus method with our students? Is that is come, follow me. Have we been taking our students with us when we share the gospel? I'm not going to ask you to show a hands if you have a goal for how many times you'd like to share the gospel in a week, or how many students you would like to baptize in a year, or how many people you'd like to lead to Christ in a year. But I can tell you this, that if your goal is zero and you don't have a number in mind, I don't think we're going to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. You say, but that's a numbers thing. Okay, then we'll go with your program. How's it working for you? I believe we got to set some goals. And then we got to reevaluate and look at those goals. Okay? Jesus said, come follow me. It means you go with me. I'm going to show you what to do. Let me show you how to do it. And if you fail, good. Okay? Do not set these students up for failure. That is, hey, I've already talked to somebody. They're just ready to give their life to Christ. I'll take Billy with me. It's always Billy, Johnny, Sally, whatever, right? So I'm going to take them with me, and they'll see what it's like to lead somebody to Jesus. That's important, but what happens when they go out on their own? And they get eaten alive. Now they're discouraged and they don't do it again. They need to see us fail. Now, if you're one of those youth leaders that are on the pedestal and you never fail and you never fall and you're all that good and everything, you come up here because I'm going to sit back there. I mess up, I make mistakes, and I don't do this well sometimes. And there's sometimes it doesn't work, right? Here's a freebie for you. When it comes to sharing the gospel, we all want the harvest. Would you agree? Yes, but sometimes we got to sow seeds. Sometimes we just got to sow seeds and get it out there. Freebie for you. I'm going to tell you, I do this with mine. We shared the gospel with all of our students. We told them how to do it and everything, and we gave everybody a flower packet to take home with just seeds. Go plant it, because it's going to take some time for those seeds to be watered, be planted, be watered, to grow, to develop, before you ever get the flower. Sometimes that's the way it is with your relationships, your friendships, and talking with some of your fellow students, okay? Do we all want the harvest? Yes. Don't get me wrong. But sometimes you just sow seeds, okay? So I want you to understand that. The other thing is, now, go out. And make it where it's a successful time for them to go out. I'm not a big proponent of just going door to door and knocking on the doors and doing cold calls. Don't get me wrong. That's just me and my personality. Listen. Look at me. Just ponder at the chinchilla, okay? I come to your door, uninvited, knock on the door, ring the doorbell, look through the little peephole, and you see a Gandalf Duck Dynasty reject standing outside the door. You're a lady, you're home by yourself. You're like, hang on a second. Yes? It doesn't work for me. Some of you, we didn't talk about this, gospel tracts work. That's okay. You can be a track star. I mean, I think you ought to make it work, okay? Doesn't work for me and my personality. But you got to get them to go out and do some things, okay? And then show somebody else with you. Just go. Take them with you, okay? So they can see when you fail and when you do well, okay? All right. Like I said, I'm going to stand between you and dinner. Okay. Is the gospel the driving force in your youth ministry? Now, I can't answer that for your youth ministry. Only you can. Now, I will tell you it is in mine. And the reason I know it's in mine is that when we meet, we share the gospel. When I say we, it's not me, my students do it. Because I've been trained and empowered and equipped them to do it. I don't do it. I don't get on the stage and share it. They're the ones that do it. And I'll show you a couple pictures here in just a minute. We do it three or four different ways. Ever how they feel the most comfortable. If they feel like we're getting into a rut, they'll mix it up. They may mix it up and do three circles and Romans Road and put it on the circles. Okay? Because it does work. I mean, three circles does work, you know, for all sin and fall short of the glory of God. It's in the brokenness. It's pretty simple. I mean, it's all there. You can actually put them on the circles and make it work. So a lot of different ways to do that. But anyway, that's the first one. The second thing it says is the gospel that engine that runs your youth ministry. If somebody brought their friend to your youth ministry, you have to answer this question. I can't answer it for you. If your students bring a lost, unsaved, unchurched student to your youth ministry on any given Sunday or Wednesday or whenever you have your youth program, will they be exposed to the gospel? If not, what are they being exposed to? Okay? What's the purpose of your youth ministry? Well, for some churches, it's we got somebody to work with the youth so they don't get in trouble, they don't break things, and we'll see them when the adults get out of their class. And that's nobody here, right? So sometimes that's where we get blamed for it. Or what do we do in our youth ministry? All we do is eat pizza. What's the other thing we do? Play games. So yeah, everybody thinks about youth ministry. And then people think that in youth ministry, they'll ask youth pastors, youth leaders, whatever, say, do you think God will ever call you to be a real pastor? My eye goes twitching. That's why I got to go take a break right now because I'm about to lay hands on somebody in the name of Jesus. It's going to be really hard because as youth ministers, youth workers, man, all we've got is just working with students. All we do is play games. They don't deal with real life decisions such as sexuality, identity, homosexuality, LGBTQ+, suicide, stress, loneliness, all that. So we're just playing games. No, we got to be important. Okay? What we're doing is so stinking important. Okay, so here's a slide just for fun. A gospel-powered youth ministry has a driving engine in it. That is that the gospel, if you come to my church, if you come to my youth group, you come to your group, that their friends know they're going to hear about Jesus. Always. And don't be apologetic about it. Well, this is kind of what my youth pastor... No, we're going to share the gospel. Is our driving force the gospel of Jesus Christ, or is it more of games? I can't answer that for your youth ministry. I didn't say don't do games. They're students. If you have a Wednesday night program, they've been in school for 3 days. And at Wednesday night, they're about ready to... Games are great. I like playing them. Man, we'll play carpet ball, we'll play foosball, we'll play whatever. I have been known to take and put, steal it, just steal it. We took, just one night, just out of the blue, I took and put a triangle piece of tape on the floor, a floor kind of like this concrete floor here, gave them a wiffle ball. It's the best thing ever because if a wiffle ball doesn't roll straight. And said, all you got to do is roll it and put it to get into that square. They were lined up 16 people deep. Oh, and it'd roll and it'd go this way, and it'd roll this, go this way, roll this way. They're cheering to get close. And he said, well, that's stupid. Yes, it is. But when the kid finally did it, they cheered him like a rock star, right? And we got involvement, and everybody's engaged. That's what I want on engagement, because now we're having some fun. Whatever works for you. I'm just not a messy games kind of guy, because last thing I want is that colored shaving cream in this chinchilla. It smells like, and sour cream, not sour cream, whipped cream will be sour in 2 days. That's not good. I've done that one too, okay? The bottom left-hand thing is it about the gospel? Is it about the word of God? And when you teach, this is a freebie, you know this, make sure you teach from scripture.
Yeah, that's right.
Make sure they see the Bible open. You guys are believers, you're here, you know I'm teaching from overflow and that kind of thing, but when our students, when we teach, we need to have the Bible open. They need to know that it's coming from Scripture. Put your notes in it. It's okay. Even where they can't see it, that's okay. But they need to see an open Bible. We were talking earlier, the reason they have Bibles here is because people in this generation are biblically illiterate.
Yeah.
They don't own a Bible. They can't find Job for Job. They don't know about the book of Psalms or the book of Concordance, which is the Bible in just minute little details, right? So they don't know Scripture. We were talking earlier, and then I talked to my students about Joseph. They're like, when did Joseph, did Mary get Joseph the coat with the colors? I mean, how'd that come out? No, there's two. What? Because they're biblically illiterate. And I know they're biblically illiterate because most of our adults are biblically illiterate. So we're talking about when we teach. Now, I just did a Disciple Now weekend this last weekend, another church, and I said, we're going to be in the book of Daniel. And there's adults who are going, I know it's in there somewhere. So I said, okay, you know, if you open your Bible, in the middle is Psalms, Psalms, right? Turn a couple, three books over, you're going to get to Ezekiel. At the end of Ezekiel, you're going to get to Daniel. Daniel, and he's talking in the back, we were talking earlier, said, you know, the big numbers are chapters, the little numbers are verses. You're like, really? Yeah. And then we go over to read in chapter 3. It's called a minor prophet. Why? It didn't matter? No, here's why it's called a minor prophet. Here's how the Bible's put together. Our students are biblically illiterate, so we've got to teach the Bible. Okay? You know this, but I'm just giving you as a freebie. Okay? So whether or not you like that or not, that's okay. I did a Google search, and I said, give me a gospel presentation. That was a number that came up. We just named a handful. If there's 36 million, then it's not the presentation problem, is it? I'm not minimizing the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't get me wrong. I can use a shoebox and tell somebody about Jesus, they get saved, the Holy Spirit's dealing in their life. But the point is, we got to do the presentation, okay? Or we got to talk to people and build that relationship with them, okay? So, four ways to share in four different settings. And I like this. I put this slide together so you can have that. This just works for us. If we're sitting down, three circles is a great way to do it. You can do three pickles, three french fries, and you can go with it, okay? Take that one pickle, take a bite out of it, lay it out, whatever, okay? And I'm serious as I can be, because it doesn't matter. Just get it out there. If you're just standing talking to somebody, I tell my students, tell them that your youth pastor is leaning on you, and you got to do it. He's going to ask you for accountability. Because people don't do what you expect, they do what you inspect. So I asked him, are you going to do it? In the beginning, God, it's so much fun. And in fact, one of my boys is doing this. He said, would you agree with me? Is the world like this? Is the world like this? Everybody's like, oh, yeah, it's like this. He said, well, now wait, the beginning, because in the beginning, God, he gets everybody hooked. I'm like, dude, I'm going to steal that. I'll just tell you straight up, I'm going to steal it. That'll work, right? The other way, the gospel, it's just an easy conversation. You can sit and have a cup of coffee with somebody. And we usually do that. You know, having a cup of coffee with somebody and go, man, what kind of latte you got? Oh, I got a sugar-free caramel non-fat latte, extra hot skim milk, no froth, and stirred. Oh, okay. What'd you get? Coffee in a cup. It's, man, it seems like you're playing. Yeah, well, in the very beginning, it wasn't like that, you know. I just talked to you. And you start in this gospel, you don't have to go, gee, God created us to be with him. But in your mind, you're using the word gospel. We're believers. We know the word. So we just thought, you know, I think in the very beginning that there's this wonderful relationship. And then I just think sin entered into the picture and messed it all up. And I can go right through the presentation. And if you're with somebody and you know you're doing that, they know what you're doing. They pray. That's why you have two. Okay? It just works. Okay? The other one is Romans Road. The reason I like to do the Romans Road is it comes out of Scripture. These others are great ways to get the conversation started, but most of the time when I get to the point of closing it out or asking the final question is, I want to go to Scripture. And I promise you, I get them to read Romans 10:13. That's been the best thing ever. So the Bible declares if you call on him, you'll be saved, right? Yes. Are you ready to do that? If they say no, what's holding you back? Because now we're having this conversation. Because we get to that point, that's important. Okay, so those are four things you can do, and I want you to you think about what works best for you in your youth ministry. Okay, let me go. All right, so how do we start? You're adults. You don't get nervous when you share the gospel with people. Wow, you just jump right into it. So how do you normally start? Talk to me. How do you start? That could be our problem. Okay, I don't know. Here's a list of 200. what's your perception of a Christian? You know what's your perception of Christianity is in our world today? Not good, is it? It's a great gospel conversation. Or an argument, whichever you decide. What do you believe about God? Is religion important to you? Okay. What do you think happens after we die? I'll give you this list. I just think you need to have something to start with. Okay. This is a caffeinated moment. Just hit my brain, so you're welcome to write this down and use it. But I like, especially with adults, I like to use the word fire. I know, you're looking at me like, okay, he's nuts. That's okay, I don't care. Start off with family. Everybody wants to talk about the family. If I go up to somebody's house that's visiting my church, and I don't know anything about them, we're following up, talking to them, students, whatever, I walk up, I want to know about their family. You got any brothers, sisters, wife, kids, what goes on, everything. I pull up, and I notice he's got a 4x4 on a trailer. Got mud on it. What do you think they do? Right? So what interest do you have? FI, family interest. What do you do? You got a couple of ski-doos back there. Probably go to the lake. Basketball, balls laying everywhere, kids' toys everywhere. Tell me about that. Tell me what's going on. Okay. Got your family, got your interest. Now, here's my safe question that I learned to ask. Now, when you go to church, where do you go? I quit asking if you go to church because we're in America in the South, and what happens in America in the South? Everybody goes to church, even if they don't go to church. Okay? So what I like to say is, when you go to church, where do you go? So now I've got family, interest, a religious question. Have you ever had that experience? So I use FIRE. You know, I'm always looking for an acronym to help me. G-O-S-P-E-L, A-C-T-S, after church or somewhere. If I'm going to use the gospel, G-O-S-P-E-L, whatever. Because we got to figure out a way to do that. So how do we start? So then how do we share? You ever get that nervous part where you start this conversation and you know that you're going to share the gospel. But you're trying to make, I got it. How am I going to make that transition? How am I going to make that turn? Without just going and saying, hey, that's probably not a good way to do that, right? So how do you make that conversation? It's a conversation. One of the ways that we've trained our students, especially for those that struggle to talk, this is a freebie, you can take it with you. Use a Nerf ball, use a koosh ball. If you don't know what that is, Google it, okay? Don't use a baseball. Ping pong ball is okay, but it's still a little hard. If you don't understand this, it's basic communication. I had a student who really struggled to share. He said, I just need help. I said, okay, Marcus, I want to help you. I say, I got a ball. I said, Marcus, how are you doing today? And I threw it to him. He caught it. And he's just holding it. I said, No. I've just tossed it to you. You got to toss it back to me. What did I ask you? You asked me how my day was. And he said, how's your day? Communication, back and forth. You know, do you ever have religious, do you have any thoughts about religion? Well, sometimes I do, but I don't know. And it just helps have this conversation, and we're going to get it where we turn it to a gospel conversation. I call it practice. A friend of mine called it rehearsing. I like both of them. Okay, because you want to get so comfortable in sharing it. And then, how do you close? We don't do a good job closing sometimes. It sounds really bad when you're talking about the gospel, but we got to seal the deal, right? Because if we don't, maybe we just do need to sow seeds. But we need to get to that point at the end, because here's the deal. My mother-in-law had a lady that stayed with her mother and father, and she was from Trinidad. Sumitra. I struggle with her name because I want to say Sumatra. That's a coffee, and so I have to say Sumitra to make sure I get it right, okay? And Sumitra was Hindu, and she would get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and read Hindu scriptures, burn incense, and pray. Very devout. My mother-in-law, who was, if there is a such thing as a Baptist saint, it was her, right? And she was praying for Sumitra all the time, praying for her to be saved, praying for her to give her life to Christ, praying that somebody would share Jesus. I mean, this went on for a year, went on for 2 years, went on almost 3 years. And then we got word that Sumitra got saved. Woo, glory. We all rejoiced, because she was like a member of the family after 3 years staying with her great-grandparents, right? So we're so excited and everything, and Nancy went out and she said, Sumitra, she's a little sweet, I'm so excited for you that you gave your life to Jesus. I've been praying for you and praying for you and praying for you. And she said, but Nancy, you never asked me. Maybe we just need to ask. That shows our community. We love them because we're asking these questions, okay? All right, we'll see if this will work. You got a button? Go to another one. Okay. All right. I think I went ahead of my own self. That's what it was. All right. How do we start? Okay. Yeah. All right. That slide got skipped. Let me share this with you. You've got to write this down. It won't be on the screen because we had trouble with the slides. I believe, once again, I'm an acronym guy. Helps me in my ADHD brain. PALS. P-A-L-S. How do you start? When you're having a conversation with somebody, pay attention. Pay attention. What are they talking about? Pay attention. Okay? You're not talking. You're just paying attention to what they're talking about. A. Ask questions. You go, well, you know, they're paying attention. I don't like church. I got hurt as a kid. Oh. What happened? I'm just asking questions because I don't know. Was it physically, spiritually, emotionally? What happened? And then I listen. P-A-L. And I listen to what's going on in this conversation. So once I've paid attention, I've asked the questions, I've listened to what's going on, now I've earned the right to speak truth into their heart. So that's where that PALS part comes in. Okay? P-A-L-S. So that's what's going on. Okay? So, in your youth ministry, you do what you want. I'm just here to help you because I think that's how we get this right. In our youth ministry, we make time for what we deem is important. We just do. I've worked in my youth ministry. I had all my student leaders come with me, all my students in the student ministry. I said, there's two things. We're not going to compromise the word. We're not going to compromise the gospel. Well, we have to have music. I said, no, we don't. But we put it in, but that was, it was a hard-fought battle on my part. But when you do the gospel, I want you to rehearse it. I want you to practice it. I want you to role play it. I want you to get it down. I want you to recite it. And it comes second nature. Even in our youth ministry, when it's just out of the blue, I'll go, gee. They're like, oh, God created us to be with him. Oh, why? Because they get it. If you're and I get them in the sixth grade. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 7 years, average 40 weeks a year. For 280 plus times, you're going to hear God created us to be with him. They're going to hear a lot of other things, but they're going to hear the gospel. Okay? All right. Go to that next slide. I don't even know what it is. Okay. Youth ministry. We need what's important. I really don't. All right? This is a freebie for you. Take it for your church. You got time to make this one work. God gave this to me one night. This is called Gospel 1-2-3. Okay? And it says, one gospel message to three people over the next 123 days. Gospel 1-2-3. May 1st. June, July, to the end of August is 123 days. Check, I counted it. God woke me up in the middle of the night, and I'm like, no way. I mean, it's just one of those weird moments. Huh? And so what we decide to do is, every time you share the gospel, you put a white ball in the container. Just every time you share the gospel, you go, well, won't that take a lot of money? Amazon. Get them for hardly anything, right? Get the kind that actually work for your ping pong tables later, and you get double use out of them, by the way. So. But when somebody gives their life to Christ, you put a colored ball in there. We started that church-wide for the last 2 years, and it became part of the church as a whole. Gospel 1-2-3. One gospel message to three people over 123 days. May, June, July, August. That's 4 months. Come on. Three people in 4 months? Well, that's not a lot, but it's more than some people think about. So now I have a goal. And the coolest thing for me is when somebody would come to us in our church and go, Steve, there aren't any more colored ping pong balls out there. Let me drop what I'm doing. Why? Because that represents somebody that gave their life to Jesus. They crossed over from eternal death to eternal life. We're going to celebrate that thing. Yeah. Practice that thing. Throw it out there. It's a visual, okay? So that's what we do. We've done it 2 years. Probably won't do it for the third year because you know how we are. We all, but we did it for 2 years. And it works. It works, and we're baptizing people, so that's good. The ping pong ball drop. My brother over here in this corner, he does something very similar. He had an aquarium they bought for another youth event, and he's like, okay, well, now what are we going to do with it? Oh, you share the gospel, pray for them, that's white. Come to know Christ, drop a color ball in there. It's a visual, out of sight, out of mind. We're going to keep it out in the front, okay? The other is your goals in your youth ministry, but you don't have to put it up on the wall, but how many people do you want to see saved in a year? I know 365, one for every day. Okay, let's get realistic, okay? If you was to say one a month, that's 12. We were talking earlier. Heard about this one guy, he had 12 people following him, lost one, they changed the world. Maybe we just need 12, one a month, okay? Set a goal, and then discipleship, teach them how to do it. Take them out and do it. Do it with them, Okay? I want you to see that. It's kind of important. Okay. All right. Yeah. All right. Got that. All right. Like I said, non-negotiable is the Word of God and the Gospel. That's me. I'll tell you what goes on there. Okay. All right. Go to the next slide and see if it's on there. All right. Intentionality is gospel sharing. If you're not intentional, you won't do it. There are people, I'm not one of them, but there are people that actually do diets. They're intentional about it, you know. I don't know anybody that woke up in the morning and go, well, today's the day I lose 2 pounds. No, today's the day I'm going to eat barbecue, right? So you got to have a plan, be intentional about it. So I want you to make sure you do that, all right? Here's my boy, Luke, all right? This is Luke. Luke is a senior in high school, okay? He's the only one I know who can wear a black shirt and green socks and just rock it, okay? Swimmer, band, good kid, and he's sharing the gospel. He's doing it on our stage in our youth group, and he sat up one night and he said, I want to share the gospel with you tonight. And he shared it because every Wednesday night, we share the gospel. They know it's coming. They know they invite their friends. And if my middle school boys are talking, I tend to float over where they are and hug them. This is one of the most important things we do. Okay? I want you to see that. All right. This is Daniel. Daniel is sharing. And that night, it's his turn to share. Next slide. He decided he wanted to do the three circles. So we put it up on the screen. And he said, man, everybody agreed with me the world is broken. That's not the way it was in the beginning. And he just walked straight through this thing. And then he prays. Close your eyes. Yeah, anybody want to give your life to Christ? You say, well, yeah, that's pretty cold, but you're thinking about it. And we do it in the middle of our program. We do it in the middle so they got time to think about it towards the end. It's after the game, not before. Okay? So, and then we do this one. This is Daniel on Sunday night. We share the gospel on Sunday night. We're live streaming on Sunday night. So I don't know who all sees it, wherever it goes. But we just broadcast it out there. And every Sunday night, those students will stand up there and share the gospel. And they will pray. And they will ask people the hard questions, and he'll walk through the G-O-S-P-E-L. Okay? So, that's kind of what goes on there. Like anything else? Okay, this is my youth ministry. I'm just going to show you real quick. I apologize. One of the pictures didn't want to load up. We have a thing in our youth room, about this long. It has three different containers up on the wall. First one is, who in your world needs Jesus? The second thing is, when you pray for them, things lighten up like sun peeking through a cloud. Three, when they're saved, they're in Jesus. Got it. 1, 2, 3. Okay? So, the next slide shows this. Take a black ping pong ball, place an unsaved friend or family member's name, nickname, etc., your name on the ball in white, and drop it into this section that says the world. Because they're in the world, and it's a black ball with a white marker on it. It's a white Sharpie. Doesn't take much, right? Drop it in there. Put it on there. The second one, the next one is number two. I'm sorry. Did it work? Did it lock up? There we go. Every time you share the gospel with them, have a gospel conversation, pray for them, lift them up to Jesus, place their name, nickname, etc., and your name in the yellow ball and place it in a box. So here's what you see. You got the first one. It's got black ping pong balls. The second one's going to have yellow. And then we're going to do a third one. Okay? And the third one says, when they give their life to Christ, take a white ping pong ball, put their name on it in red, and a heart. And I'll show what we do. This is the black one. You can see what we just got laid out there. You can see my reflection drinking coffee. There's a yellow, and kids follow instructions, so that's why there's white ones in there. That's okay. They ran out of yellow. All right. And then this one, we got it fixed that when they give their life to Christ, we drop it in and it fills up the cross. And those plexiglass things slide out so I can move them, put up, because my goal is to fill that cross up on both crossbars from the bottom to the top. You say, well, man, take up a lot of space. Yeah, it don't cost anything. Because we're intentional about it. Okay? And it's really cool to see that take place. You say, well, that's not a lot of white balls. You're right. It's important to those 6 or 7 kids, though, isn't it? If you hadn't had any teenagers give their life to Christ in your youth ministry in the last year, I'll take my 7. Okay? All right. What else? Anything else? All right. I got it done before dinner. This is a shameless plug. I've been in youth ministry for 40 plus years. I'm currently at First Baptist Church in Richmond, Kentucky. I'll be celebrating 16 years in May, which is unheard of in youth ministry in one place for 16 years. I don't have handprints on my back, but I've been doing it a long time, and retirement may be calling. But I've been married to my bride for 45 plus years. Got 2 children, 6 grandchildren, 5 granddaughters, 1 grandson. Please pray for him when we get together. I'm shameless. That's my cell phone number. If I can help you, I will be more than happy to help you. You can text me. There's several in here that have my number. They've texted me before. I don't have all the answers, but we'll walk through this together. And then that last shameless plug is wewerethinking.org. It's a podcast that we're putting together, my son and I, because together, between us, we got 65 years of youth ministry and ministry experience. And we're just here to help people. What I know doesn't do me any good to take to the grave. I want to help you guys get this. But I'm telling you, the only way to get these kids to do it is they got to see you doing it. Show them how to do it and go out with them and let them do it, okay? If they fail, that's okay. We call that reject. That's okay. Reject university. They just graduate from rejection. That's okay. Life will be okay. So I just want you to catch that. So here's the deal. There's notes over there. There's a list over here of on this stool, questions that you can ask. The website it came from, not from me. I just downloaded from somebody else. We got to start well. We got to be intentional. We got to share it. Pray about it. You didn't talk much about prayer. It should be a given, folks. Come on. But be praying.